Our first reading is from the Quran, chapter 2, verse 214. Or did you suppose that you would enter the garden without there having come to you the like of that which came to those who passed away before you? Misfortune and hardship befell them, and they were so shaken that the messenger and those who believed with him said, when will God's help come? Yea, surely God's help is near. And now from Jeremiah, 33rd chapter. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, now at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this, the name of, by which will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. And our final reading is from Luke, 21st chapter. And there will be omens in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth nations will be anguished in their confusion at the roar of the surging sea. People will faint from terror at the prospect of what is coming over the civilized world, for the heavenly forces will be shaken. And then they will see the human one coming in a cloud with great power and splendor. Now, when these things begin to happen, stand tall and hold your heads high, because your deliverance is just around the corner. Then he told them a parable. Observe the fig tree, or any tree for that matter. Once it puts out foliage, you can see for yourselves that summer is near. So when you see these things happening, you should realize that the empire of God is near. Let me tell you, this generation certainly won't pass away before it all happens. The earth will pass away, and so will the sky. But my words will never pass away. Thanks be to God.
It would be appropriate for me to wish you a happy new year today. We normally save that greeting for January 1st, when the Gregorian calendar tells us that the new year has arrived. A month from now, we'll have changed the calendar from 2018 to 2019. We call it CE, or the Common Era. It used to be called AD, or Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, marked by the Advent, the coming into the world of Jesus the Christ. But since this calendar has become dominant in the world, and not only for Christians, and not only Christians use the calendar, in the past few decades, to be more culturally sensitive, the Common Era designation has replaced the Anno Domini designation, CE, as opposed to AD. And this designation reflects, I think, the dominance, for the time being, of the secular West. There are other calendars, of course, the Jewish calendar, the Islamic calendar, the Chinese calendar, for example, each with its own new year. Calendars tell us how to mark time and how to integrate events, how to structure our lives, how to tell our narratives. Sometimes events are so huge that power structures change so dramatically that new calendars are created. 1,000 years from now, our descendants may mark the days and seasons with a different calendar from the one we have now, depending on who will have shaped the narrative and created the history. We may have our own personal calendars. Traumatic events shape our understanding of time. My wife and I mark our memory of time in terms of the death of our son. The time before his death from the time after is a qualitatively different time for us. We remember the before time differently in light of this loss. And the thought process regarding the memory of earlier events with our family kind of goes like this. Well, that was before Zach died. We're different then. We've been changed. Collectively, Americans think differently about political events before September 11th, 2001, from after September 11th, 2001. The assassination of President Kennedy in World War II had similar effects on those who lived both before and after those traumatic events. When the trauma is large enough, new narratives and calendars are eventually created to reflect this new before and after quality of remembrance. In the end, the Earth orbits the sun, and the time it takes for one spin is the same for everyone. But how we mark this earthly voyage, the units we use to measure this time, and the meaning we put on certain groups of units of time shape how we live. I'm becoming more conscious of the importance of calendars, in part because of my interfaith work with Muslims. The Islamic calendar is a lunar calendar, but that's not all. It's more than just that. The events of their history and the remembrance of those events shape their lives, their values, and their identity. So I was thinking about the secular American calendar. What marks our days? Well, Black Friday begins the season of shopping. Then there's the Super Bowl. There's the beginning of summer vacation and the beginning of school. Then the new television programs and more shopping. And sprinkled throughout are patriotic holidays. I've been thinking that our secular calendar manages our lives around shopping, sports, entertainment, and war. Calendars are dominated by the interests of the powers. So a question might come up for people of conscience. Do we allow our days to be marked by the interests of the powers, or do we make conscious choices around how we will mark our time? How do you mark your days and your seasons? What traditions have you adopted and adapted for you and your family? And it's important, I think, to be conscious about that. Otherwise, we will be placed on the assembly line of shopping, sports, entertainment, and war. There's a calendar for Christians that can provide some alternatives to shaping our days. It's the old liturgical calendar that moves through Advent and Christmas, Lent, Easter, Pentecost, and culminates on Christ the King, which was last Sunday. And I was thinking about this and wondering it might be interesting for us to create calendars of conscience. What days would you celebrate, and how would you celebrate them? And I'm not presuming to start something new. We all have our personal calendars of important days and seasons, but what if we shared them? What days and seasons would we want to acknowledge and incorporate into our lives? Some days would be big and elaborate with meals. Others might be recalled with a simple act of meditation or fasting or prayer. Days on my calendar of conscience that I already celebrate and wish to add would include Martin Luther King's birthday, the birthday of Malcolm X, Earth Day, Charles Darwin's birthday, the anniversary of the martyrdom of Thomas Merton, the birthday of Sojourner Truth, the anniversary of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. Those days I put on my calendar, in addition to Christian celebrations regarding the life and martyrdom and resurrection of Jesus and other important interfaith figures such as Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, and so forth. And I was thinking it might be a good Advent project for me to make a calendar between today and next Christ the King Sunday, between now and then. It'd be on my own personal calendar of conscience. Perhaps you'd like to do it too. Trying to be a person of conscience is not easy. And so that's why we celebrate the days of those who have lived by their conscience. The rest of us are not at that level of those who've given their lives to do what is good and true, but all of us can emulate their sacrifice a little bit, and at the very least, recall them with a moment of respect. In doing so, by the grace of God, our own personal characters may be sharpened and strengthened. So today is the first Sunday of Advent, the Sunday that marks the beginning, of the Christian New Year. So Happy New Year. Well, what is the season of Advent? I think it's a season that provides music for the dance between the already and the not yet. We await the arrival of Jesus on two levels. The first level is the already. Jesus, the divine messenger, the light of the world, has already come in to break the curse, to bring light to the nations, to bring justice and peace to the oppressed, to break every yoke and make all women and men free. And this has already happened. That's part of the dance of the Advent music. The battle has been won. We acknowledge it by celebrating his birth. Now, quickly, objections are raised. The dance partner of already, who is called not yet, says, wait. Look around at the suffering and the despair and the problems and the crises, and already stops not yet in mid-sentence. I know, she says. Dance with me first. Don't talk. Just move with me. And as they move across the dance floor, with the music of Advent providing their rhythm, already whispers in Not Yet's ear about the miracles that she has witnessed and the hearts that have been changed and the laughter she hears and the beauty she sees. And she shows him the courageous and generous acts of people throughout history. And she reminds him of sunsets and sunrises, of the elaborate display of creation, of lives well lived and of promises kept. Already and not yet move as one, and not yet absorbs this truth and breathes more calmly. Their hearts beat as if they share the same body. Finally, when already senses that not yet has heard her truth, she says, now tell me what you see. And not yet speaks about the pain of loss and of injustice, the extinction of species, the suffering of children from war and greed, the lies of the powerful and the silencing of those who speak for truth. Not yet has the kingdom arrived fully. Their dance continues. Their eyes both fill with tears. It's not an argument between the two. It's a dance of holy truth and sacred power. The truth of already and the truth of not yet need each other. Neither dismisses the other as naive on one hand or depressing on the other, because their hearts beat together. What each sees is deepened and strengthened and drives their collective creative force to dance courageously to the music of Advent. The music of Advent invites us to dance, and this dance awakens us. It makes us alert and moves us toward prayer. The music invites us to name and to give thanks to our experience of what has already happened that the birth of Jesus symbolizes. And the Advent music moves our steps so that we don't stall from discouragement, but move and dream of what is yet to be. The texts for this first Sunday of Advent from the three Abrahamic faiths each speak about the not yet, the promise of what is to come, and the challenges we must accept as we participate in this dance. The Quran reading reminds us that we cannot expect it to be easier for us than what it was for our ancestors. But even they, in their hardship, held on to hope, as must we. The reading from the Hebrew Scriptures promises the realm of justice and to be alert for that righteous branch that points to Jesus and all the prophets. The gospel reading invites us to be awake and ready for signs of possibility, reminding us that it is always darkest before dawn, but that dawn is real. Already, the kingdom of God has already come. It is within us and among us. Not yet. The kingdom of God has not yet come. We participate in its unfolding. Already, not yet, both are true. That is the Advent music. Will you dance?
Christian journey soon be over.